right, everybody, welcome to Traversing the Stars. I am JD, and with me today, I've been so excited about this guest. Please welcome Eleanor Lambert. Eleanor, hello. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, JD.
Absolutely.
Awesome. I'm so excited.
I am too. So, I've heard the name both times. I've heard Lambert and Lambert. Which one is the correct one?
I say Lambert because okay. I live in the States. If I were, you know, abroad yeah. or back where the, you know, my dad is, I would say Lambert, but.
Okay. Gotcha. Cause I've heard like, I've heard for trailers, like for your dad when the, you know, the, like they'll and the, I've heard Lambert and I've heard Lambert and totally. I'm like, oh my God, have I been saying it wrong the whole time?
I mean, if you have, then I have, so.
Hey, fine. There you go. That's good enough for me. So tell everybody at home a little about yourself. You are the daughter of two very popular actors, Christopher Lambert, my favorite Raiden. There's no better Raiden for Mortal Kombat ever. And Diane Lane, been a fan of her since The Outsider. So tell us what it was like growing up in a Hollywood family.
Oh my, okay. Well, I grew up in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Until I was about 17, mm-hmm. Just at tail end of 17, I moved to New York for university mm-hmm. and growing up in LA, you know, I mean, LA and Hollywood can right. be a bit of a bubble. New York yeah. is definitely a bubble too, but LA is an exceptional bubble. And, I was very privileged and very lucky to grow up the way that I did. And I also had I would say as relatively normal of a childhood mm-hmm. as is possible, considering the circumstances. Right. My mom was, I don't want to say protective. My mom was sure. just very thoughtful about how she sort of introduced me into the world that of world. Hollywood yeah. and premieres and all that, you know, sort of press life, like living in LA. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, she's never been a celebrity. I mean, she is culturally, of course. I just mean internally, I know she identifies herself very much as like a, you know, an actor and a craftswoman. Right. And so yeah, you know, I grew up in LA and it was really lovely. I grew up with my step's family at the time and Eden, my stepsister, is still very much like, you know, my best friend and my
That's
sister,
awesome.
Which is really cool. Love and it. I'm so grateful because she's just the best. And yeah, so we went to school together. We went to middle and high school together, which was really fun. And
that's awesome.
You know, I mean, like I said, LA is a special place.
But yeah.
I felt, you know, I didn't feel particularly like eyes on me or anything right. like that. It was very, you know, I was very blessed to be able to have that experience. All
yeah.
considered.
Yeah. So it's never been a concern for me because I grew up with, you know, blue collar dad. So, you know, no one was ever worried about like that kind of thing for me.
I mean, hey, wonderful.
So when you were in university, so you, I read a little bit online, you did you were working like kind of like with music and things like that.
Yes, I did. I went to Gallatin, which is an individualized major program at NYU. Mm-hmm. And I went into that. Oh, hold on. I'm gonna let my cat inside. Go on.
I never let mine outside. She's absolute priss.
She's totally screened okay. in. Oh, yeah. We do. We have been letting him wander around because the whole fence is gated in, which is awesome. I mean, excuse me, the whole backyard is yeah. fenced in. But anyway, I went to an individualized major program and, you know, going into university undecided mm-hmm. is already sort of daunting at like a college of arts and science
right.
program. Or an arts and science program at college. But I found my footing, luckily, mm-hmm. and I had a focus on cultural critique, journalism. Mm-hmm. I called it, and he's back. I called it, you know, at Gallatin, you make your own major.
Yeah.
And it was called Intersectional Horizons in Journalism. And I sort of studied the concept of intersectionality and the arts as a way for people to form connections rather than Ooh. Isolate themselves and further, you know, other something that they yeah. might consider other. I found, you know, the connecting quality of difference and divergence to be its main, you know, the main goal of our, yeah. our differences, you know, why use that to divide
right.
when we can use that to unite, you know, and that's a very oversimplification. I understand sure. lots of nuance and different experiences of what I'm speaking of. So that was just what interested me. And I did some music writing in school, which was really cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what better way to explore that kind of thing than music? Because, I mean, music is a wonderful connector for people.
Completely agree. And it's a window into, in the same way, sort of film can be, obviously.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
I just have such a, you know, love of rhythm and music.
Yeah.
Particularly, it just was my first sort of, one of my first loves. And I completely agree, you know, it has the capacity to invite you into an experience you may never yourself have, or you may have come pre-bundled with ideas about, and you get to learn sort of firsthand from people as opposed to what somebody tells you.
Right.
That isn't necessarily involved or
yeah.
doesn't know what they're talking about.
That's a pretty common issue these days. Yeah. So what's your favorite kind of music then? I mean, you've got to, be well-versed. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I grew up listening to my mom's music. So
same. I think we all kind of went through that. Yeah.
Volvo,
you don't get much choice in that.
lots of Beatles, lots of Elton John.
I think there's Beatles families and there's like Beach Boy families. I come from a Beach Boy family, so
yeah, we crossed over. I would say we crossed over on both of those. And then I started listening to dance music when I was quite young. I would say about 12 before it sort of exploded over here. And by the time I was writing at the Village Voice, which was the coolest freaking thing ever, I'm 19 years old, writing at the Village Voice, interviewing all my favorite DJs.
That's
because
awesome.
No one was really doing, no one was covering dance music there at the time. And it was, it had just sort of had its explosion in Europe and was coming across to the States, you know, around, some would say 2009, some would say 2013. So it was in that window that I was really, I mean, I was such a fan. And then I got to be front and center with like Tiesto, Armin van Buuren, Pete Tong, like just legends of this art form. And so that was sort of where it all began.
I love
in terms of, you know, my first like real job doing something.
Yeah. So did you feel like, you know, with having actors as parents, did you feel like kind of like called to do acting also, or how did you get into acting?
Honestly, I grew up with a sort of unique, oh, here he comes. Forgive me.
It's okay.
He needs to be the center of attention.
I'm a lover of kitties, so it's all
yeah,
good.
You said you have one. That's the best. Cats are really just so special.
They are.
I grew up with a sort of, obviously, a singular experience.
Sure.
My own, but also
one
that was sort of outside the norm, growing up in a family of actors. And I didn't recognize the artistry of acting necessarily straight away, just because of the, you know, it was either what my parents were doing when they would go to set for 3 months. Or it was my dad and I, when my dad would come to town, we would go and see the most like pure entertainment, like Italian Job, Transformers, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, those are the most kind of like, wow.
Yeah.
You're so inundated, and it's such a sensorial, whatever.
Sensory? Yeah, something. Yeah.
Sensory. That's
sensory.
Yeah. Sensory experience. And so it wasn't until a bit later. I mean, I'm still very young, and but I was younger than now. I was about 24, and I met my current partner, and he's an actor as well. And he was very, he would get sent his sides and his scripts and stuff, and he would disappear into this world. And I would watch the gears turn, and I was like, what's going on?
What's happening there? Yeah.
Yeah. He would get his sides and his script, my boyfriend, and he would disappear into this world, and I could see the gears turning in his head. And I was like, want to cue me in on what's going on? Cause I don't get it. And he was sort of the one that introduced me to the craft and the art and the honoring of human experience and the empathy involved in the art form of acting, you know. And it was like this little light bulb went off for me, because my natural interests lie in sort of the psychology of
humans
and why people do things the way that they do. And I have a real I have an interest in sort of the science side of it, the neuroscience and the research that's going on.
So you go deep.
I love it. I just love it. And I think, you know, we're in such an amazing time where science and spirituality and psychology are all, we're really getting some, you know, empirical data on that we sort of picked up on. And so anyway, acting was just sort of, I recognized for the first time how acting can be the outside in version of that. You see the manifested behavior and you go, now what the hell caused you to do that? Or what would it take for me to do that? And so you kind of just naturally have that psychological curiosity, or it made sense to me to pursue that more seriously because I was sort of already drawn to that. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. See, I've always been about, like, for me, it's all like, I've been a film lover since I was born. I don't remember not being like just super intensely into film. Cool. And my wife is like, she's always said, like, I'll reference something and she'll look at me like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Cause apparently some of my knowledge with that stuff, the story parts, it just goes like so deep. Cause I just can't stop researching like the story aspects and things
like that. Oh my God. I love that. Well, how cool that you're doing this podcast and like, bringing that interest into, into the world
It's been an absolute journey. And you know, I've actually got two podcasts. I've got this one and another one. This one is just solely interview based. The other one is like where we look kind of more into the movies themselves. And it's just been an absolute journey. You know, it's funny. It started because of COVID. I mean, like, I started my
first
one. Bless
you for finding something creative to do. Yes. I spent my time, you know, auditioning and eating food on the sofa.
Yeah, I did a lot of that too. That definitely happened too. It was like, I went to my best friend and I was like, you know what, man? Like, we know, like, cause my best friend and I, you put the two of us in a room together and everybody else is just like, I have no idea what they're talking about. They're talking about nonsense at this point. And so we just like,
friendship is the best.
Yeah. So we just sort of turned the gears and launched that into something. And it's been really, really fun, like exploring that as an art form too.
That is awesome. I love to hear that. That's very inspiring, honestly. Cause I think it takes a certain level of courage and trust to embark on something like, you know, like that, especially when it's so your own. It's so your own point of view and your own interest and expertise. And I just think that's very cool. So
I agree. And it's been a fun ride and I hope to keep it going.
Congrats.
So, thank you.
And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
So I am too. I'm excited to have you a part of it. So that's awesome.
I'll make two of us.
That's another thing is like this journey has kind of led to like making connections I never expected I would have been able to make. And I've just been really loving that part of the journey with it.
Best, truly the best. Yeah.
So tell us about, I got to watch it. I'm not sure if it's out yet. Tell us about the new movie you're in.
Okay. It's called Time Now. Mm-hmm. It's written and directed by Spencer King. And so it was shot and filmed in April of 2019 in Detroit. And we filmed the whole thing in 15 days, which was quite a feat.
Yeah.
And what was awesome about filming in Detroit, but with such a short amount of like downtime, we shot in so many cool locations. So I got to see a lot of Detroit while working, which was cool, you know? Yeah. You always want to get to know the city a little bit. And I was able to do that while working, which was just awesome. And then, so the film follows Jenny, which is the character I was so lucky to play, as she goes back home after having run away from home when she was about 17, after an initial familial tragedy. And she's a triplet. Her first brother dies tragically, and her second brother, now it's about 7 years later, dies tragically, and she's the last remaining triplet. And it's, you know, it deals a lot with loss and trauma. How, I mean, we follow Jenny's our protagonist,
right? She
leads us into the lives and the psyches of so many different people, which I think is the real the real feat of this project. It was the just, you know, expanse of responses and people's just reactions to trauma and the ramifications of not processing and not having the abilities, you know, or the resources or the time or the energy or the access to the quite difficult to locate and find what works for you modes of healing ourselves and each other. And you sort of have this snapshot of what happens when everybody has their coping mechanisms and they don't participate together in the grieving process. And so that's sort of, you know, and then Jenny comes back home and it's a story of her facing her family, facing herself, facing the one brother she had who she just sort of neglected and like she's done with so many of the important relationships in her life. And I think that is where the film really has its, is the meat and potatoes of it.
Yeah.
It's plot driven, of course, but it's also very relational. And I loved Jenny because Jenny's a weirdo.
Yeah.
Like, Jenny is out of adjustment. Jenny doesn't totally make sense. She's so closed off. And that was definitely something I don't know if I would say I struggled with, but I struggled with. Who am I kidding? It was a challenge to dance that line of like, you know, vulnerability as an actor, but being totally closed off as a character.
Right.
And, you know, knowing everything I need to know as the actor, but letting that go for the role. And
right.
So that's something that I think will hopefully improve for me as I go on.
And yeah.
I did this film 6 months into my first year of my Meisner training, which is more untraining and deconditioning than actually learning tools.
Right, right.
So I showed up on set with like less of a clue. I was like, but you know, I think it really served the character because Jenny is so like, just kind of, if she does react and emote, it is confused. And
she definitely keeps it like she keeps her cards to her chest. Like definitely, yeah. I don't want to like spoil anything. So I definitely don't want to like give anything away with that. But I think another strength in the movie is the relatability. You know, I think like, you know, like anybody can find something in this one to relate to. Like my wife and I watched it together and she was just like, oh my God, like the relationship with Jenny and her mom.
Yeah,
some of that spoke to, you know, my wife. She's like, oh my God, like this, I get this like so much.
I know. And that's another, I'm sorry to hear that because it was a fraught relationship.
It's not as bad as the movie, but it's like, you know, it's okay, like things are, you know, never, nothing's perfect. You know,
nothing is perfect. And I love that about this film because it really captures that, the truth of these relationships. And yeah, I think there's someone for everyone in here. The person who dives into the work and the dream. We've got the person who's carrying the burden. We've got the person who's casting blame. We've got the person who's totally closed off. We've got the caretaker. We've got cornucopia of people to identify with.
Yeah.
Parts of people to identify with. And yeah, and that was the task with Jenny. It's like, where does Eleanor fit into Jenny? Or where does Jenny fit into Eleanor? And, yeah. And, you know, you see this tension between Jenny and her mother, and then you see almost no intimacy between Jenny and her child.
Right.
And so there's this sort of, you know, you've got this funny like legacy thing happening, but it's unspoken, which I also thought was the strength of the film. A lot of this stuff is sort of left up to the audience in a way that is, at least I can speak for Spencer a little bit on set. It was so intentional. Spencer was so intentional in his choices and in his, you know, his creative ideas. And so I was really, really cool.
That's awesome. Well, it's funny too, because like, and you know, this is something awesome that I love too. It's just having gotten to speak with you for a few minutes here already. You're nothing like Jenny. So like, how did you get into that role? How did you get into like without letting the darkness of it kind of drag you down? I mean, that must have been kind of challenging, I would say.
It was. It definitely was. Like I said, though, we did this in 15 days and we had a lot of prep time before on the phone. Spencer and Claudia Black and I all were on the phone a lot and getting very clear on the relationships and the moments and the, you know, and the script itself. So that was really helpful. And then part of shooting it so quickly was you just kind of stay there.
Yeah.
There's not a bunch of like, okay, I need to let that go and then bring it back. It was just like,
sort of in it for a little while and then.
Exactly. And I think that was in service to myself as an actor and also to the character and to getting, making sure we got everything done in the video.
Yeah.
It was dark, but I'm grateful to say that it wasn't too too dark or right. too jarring. And I think part of that is just because, and maybe this is something, you know, for me to a note for me moving mm-hmm. forward is allowing, you know, because just because Jenny won't necessarily allow mm-hmm. herself to go there doesn't mean that I can't allow myself to go there. And right. I definitely did. I just, you know, I wonder looking back at how the experience was. I wonder if there, you know, was more room for me to, but it was nice to have also, I think Eleanor, the actor mm-hmm. sort of followed the trajectory of Jenny in my internal experience and those final moments of the film,
mm-hmm. which were very powerful.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. The last, you know, 10-15% mm-hmm. of the interactive moment, that's what I'll say. And then yeah. the solo moment, that was where I sort of got to have a release. And I will say the car scenes
yeah.
prior yeah. to the real confrontation, the horrific confrontation
right.
the moments before, that was incredibly difficult because that was finally the moment for me, Eleanor. This was finally the moment that I got to go like, oh, but I'd been spending so much time like
internalizing it. Yeah.
As Jenny, and it came out all kind of sideways. And I think that really worked because Jenny, those moments, Jenny felt 17 to me. I yeah. felt 17. I felt very like flippant and aggressive yeah. and like
angry okay, at the world. Okay,
like you're scary teenager.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, and that makes sense. I think Jenny was so stunted in so many ways and emotionally. Yeah. She's like when, you know, when she's at the bar with Tanya and she's mm-hmm. like trying to be curious about her brother, but there are moments where she gets like angry, but then yeah. she feels guilt. It's like, she's kind of all over the place. And I thought that was, you know, so human and so many of us, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, don't necessarily have access to the things that we need to heal ourselves, be that, you know, a loving family or I don't know, a therapist
right.
or a 12-step program. I don't know, like
whatever it happens to be. Yeah.
Whatever works for you, you know, if you don't, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And so I think there was a lot that Jenny didn't know. And as she's embarking into on this journey and immersing herself into the world of her brother, her mm-hmm. now late brother, I think that she's so externally focused.
Yeah.
She's so like, I'm going to pick this apart. I'm going to leave and get married and have a kid. I'm going to investigate this situation as opposed to having any inner experience. She's just like out. I'm going to just focus outward to until, you know,
until it comes to a head
in a horrible act that, you know, just sort of shows the cycle of pain and trauma mm-hmm. and harm that we, you know, see so often, but it kind of stays unspoken. In
yeah.
a lot of ways. So I thought that was real.
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest, I did not see the one part coming at the end, but not giving anything away, no spoilers, but the part where, you know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Like
the interactive moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I don't know why I'm calling it interactive, but I just, there's another
the interactive confrontational.
There we go.
Yeah.
We are speaking cryptically, people.
Yeah. But yeah, I was watching it and I'm like, oh my, like, you know, just you got the tension building and then it happens. And I'm like, holy shit.
I know. And you don't really know what's going to happen until it suddenly is happening. And I
yep.
think that, oh my God. And that day, holy shit. That day was like, sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I have a foul mouth.
So do I.
Okay. Well, fuck it. No, I'm just
kidding. Exactly.
That was a tough day, man. That was a tough day. It was fucking 20 degrees. I'm yeah. in this little dress. And, you know, like I said, allowing that to come out was like, ugh. But I think it, you know, it made it. It didn't get yeah. cut. So it was good enough.
Yeah. It made it. And the impact was incredible, I thought.
Thank you so much, JD.
Absolutely. My wife and I, we absolutely enjoyed it. I can't, when is it going to be out available for everybody?
It's actually available. It came out on Tuesday on the 26th in some theaters. I don't know where. I should probably find out.
Yeah.
and video on demand.
Okay, cool.
It's very crazy. It's so wild, you know, because we shot this in 2019 and it's like, 2021 and Spencer started writing this in 2016. And I think we just see so many of these stories of like, don't give up.
Absolutely.
You know, just the most recent Squid Game. Guy working so
since like 2009, he was working on that and nobody wanted it.
Nobody, but he did. And I'm like, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Because that is just, and we see that all the time, right? Like there's so many stories of like, I was pitching this for 10 years. I rewrote this 6 times. I had 6 different partners and it all felt, you know, like, I just think it's such a testament to when you feel in your gut, you have something to say.
Yes.
Like, don't necessarily go running and screaming about it because maybe there's more to learn. You never know, but also to really trust yourself and keep going and following the road signs, you know, following the signs from the universe of like, oh, this way, oh, that way. Oh, ooh, back up. Oh, go run now, you know?
Yeah.
And trust that a little. And I think Spencer really did. And he was, I mean, my God, he was 22 when he directed that.
Yeah. That's insane. Like,
so impressive.
It is.
Yeah. So I'm just, you know, I was in awe of him then. And I'm so excited to see what he does moving forward. I think, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now I got to skew a little bit here. Now you brought up Squid Game. How far into that do you think you would have made it? Because I'd have been dead on the first one.
First dead.
I can't stand still. I can't ever stand still.
I can't stand still. I can't stop talking.
If I'd have picked the umbrella thing with the cookie, no, dead.
That one I maybe could have done just because I'm a Virgo and I've got a little bit of that like perfectionism, but I wouldn't have made it there. So it doesn't matter.
Exactly. See, I'm a Leo. So I'm just about, loud. Yeah, right.
I love Leos. Like 5 of my closest, you know, friends of my life are Leos. I love them. So that makes sense.
We make good friends. Entertaining to say the least.
But yeah, God, that show made me physically ill in a way I've never experienced, but I couldn't stop.
Oh, absolutely. We did it in 1 day.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. And I set out to do like, it was like, we're going to watch 1 episode. We're going to do this and this. We're going to do that. No, we watched it in 1 day.
No, watch the whole thing. That's the legacy of the pandemic too, right? It's like you got used to 11 hours on the sofa.
Yeah.
So no problem.
Yeah. I think there was like 2020. We had Tiger King and this year we had Squid Game.
Squid Game. Oh God, what an epic. Oh, I loved it. I mean, you know, I was like, I'm really bad with gore too. I love the psychological thriller, like what the hell's going on, but I cannot with the gore.
Oh, so see, I don't mind that.
But I've gotten
all
so good with the gore. I know when, like, I hate it so much. I know when it's coming, and I'm just like, bloop.
Yeah,
you like the gore.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Give me all the gore. give me like, I love. So like one of the first episodes we did for the other podcast I host is a top 10 kill list for Freddy Krueger. And it was just the most fun just going through all the Freddy Krueger movies. Like, all right, she's getting turned into a bug. That's gross.
Gross. That's fun. I mean, hell yeah. I think, you know, I was chatting with somebody else and they were saying that when they were growing up, their dad would show them sort of how it was all done and the movie magic of it all. So they grew up very, you know, obsessed by it, but also, or compelled by it, but in the art of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's super cool. I mean, I didn't grow up with that. I saw The Hills Have Eyes when I was like 14 and Saw II when I was like 12. And you can ask my mom how many nights in a row I slept in her bed
because of that.
Like night terrors. I blocked the whole thing out though now, which is great. Yeah. I just I remember the bird, the like, No, I literally can't do it. Next topic.
See, I think with me, it was just like, I think I watched them too early.
You're just like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, this is cool. Yeah, obviously that's happening. Like, why wouldn't that happen? Everybody else is screaming. I'm just like, popcorn.
Yeah, can I get another one? Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So what's next for you? What have you got next going on?
Oh, wow. Well, I keep forgetting to mention this. I just shot a pilot in June for a show called Beatrice with a writer director friend named Angelica Zolo, and she is a badass lady, and I am so excited to see how that comes together with Colleen Camp, which was so much fun. She's so cool. I loved her.
That's awesome.
And then I've got plans for a feature sometime in the spring with another friend of mine who freaking wrote a character with me in mind. I was just like,
that's awesome.
Pinching myself. Like, this is a dream. Are we sure? Okay.
Like, this is happening.
That's so cool. And I'm really excited. So that's what I know of. Fingers crossed that there's more.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm so excited to get working. You know, I'm really so excited to finally, like we were just saying, you know, it takes courage and trust. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm finally in a place where I have just enough of those to go, okay, fuck it, let's do it.
And a certain amount of being able to just put yourself out there. And exactly, fuck
it. It's hard to advocate for yourself. And like,
I'm learning how to do that myself.
We're learning together, Jake.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, you got to keep me informed on that. Let me know like when those are out. Awesome. So any social media or anything you want to plug or anything else?
I'm at LO Kitty on Instagram, and it's very much a like personal Instagram. So, yeah. I mean, it's reflective of myself. So as I work, I'm hopeful there will be, you know, work to post about, but it's LO _ Kitty, like hello without the H. It was the nickname that just stuck.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's it. I'm just on Instagram. I have a Twitter, but I don't, you know, I don't get it.
My partner does all the Twitter stuff. I don't get it either. I'm starting to learn TikTok. And
I am like, nope, can't do
it. I fought it for the longest time, but like, as I started to kind of jump in a little bit, and I've only done a few videos, but like, I was like, okay, I can kind of use this like as a promo thing, but I can also kind of explore some of my own like nonsense. Cause like, I'm all about funny, man. I'm all about like, just like trying to make people laugh.
Yeah, I can feel that. You have such warm, like goofy energy. Thank you. Yes. I'm a goof too, so I love it.
Exactly. That's what I'm kind of hoping to put that out there like that. So yeah.
I love it. I mean, it's a sick format.
Yeah.
Like it's very cool. And and you know, it can take, I'm like, people are like taking 45 minutes to make like art. I'm like, this is cool. But I'm already spend way too much of my life on Instagram. I'm like, if I add that, I don't know. I'll become the phone. I don't want to do that. I'm trying to get less time on the phone, but I think it's cool. You know, it's so true, especially if you have something to promote, something cool going on, like, and that format is really cool.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
I hope you enjoy it. If I ever venture on there, you'll be the first person I look for.
Perfect. Perfect. We'll hook up on there. And then, cause you know what, eventually you'll probably get drug into it.
So. I know. It's only a matter of time. I'm just prolonging that period of what little control I have
I love it. Well, hey, thanks again for being here. This has been phenomenal.
You so much. This was so lovely.
I love it. And if you could just mention to your dad for me, I'm a big fan. Highlander, Mortal Kombat, love it, love that guy.
I definitely
so.
Will
absolutely
thank you for saying that. That's so sweet.
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear that. This was so awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for being here. This has been an absolute pleasure. Let me know whenever you got something else you want to come on and talk about or promote. Open door.
Cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All righty. Be well. Stay safe.